Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Well, good morning, good morning. Good to be here. Good to see you today. I know that you're excited. It's always good to have a church that's doing something, a church on the go, a church that's moving, that's not stale, stagnant, and doesn't want its people to be stale and stagnant. So appreciate all that Pastor Jeremy's guiding and leading us into and providing us with some great stuff. Amen. And you know, one of the things we like to do here, we like to bring in people that can minister, that we look at that has something to deposit to the people. And in 2006, I took my first trip to India, that's followed up with many trips after that. And when I was wanting to hear from God. You know, when you go, you always want to hear from God, and you're looking for connection, something that would bond you with someone to know if you're in the right place. Well, I always had this prayer that I've prayed for years and years and years, and I still pray this same prayer many times today, but I pray a lot of times, Lord, I want to boldly go where no man's gone before. Now, have you ever heard that phrase anywhere? That's been my prayer. I've always prayed that. Lord, I want to boldly go where no man's gone before. And so we were in India, and, you know, I was thinking, I don't know, this is, you know, people's been there, but it's pretty far. And then I heard this pastor. He said, boldly praying where no man has gone before. And I said, did he say that? And that was just a bond with Pastor Andy when we met in 2006. But he's a great man of God. He pastors a great church there in India. He's pastored now for 31 years. He started young. He teaches in a Bible college there. And they raise up many students for the gospel to start churches and things that nature has been teaching for 21 years. He is married to his, he has a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. I want you to welcome my friend, Pastor Andy Yadav, as he comes to minister the word of God to us today. A couple of us knows him real well. We won't tell you what we call him, but he's a great guy, man of God.
Amen, amen, amen. As Apostle Freddie was saying, I was sitting there and thinking it's been 17 years. And I want to say this to you, as he said, that he was thinking, will anybody ever say that word? And when I said it, you know why I said that word was to boldly go where? Because I am the Star Trek generation. You know, this was the Star Trek generation, and we said that over and over again, and I begin to believe it with all my heart. I also want you to know, this bond that has been for 17 years, it started off, there were many, many preachers who would come to our church, but it was Apostle Freddie and Sister Becky. He was the one who sat across the table. We were having lunch that day, and he said to me, he leaned over and he said, give me your passport details. And I want you to know, at that time, I did not have a passport. And so I'm thinking to myself, why is he saying that? Because there had been many, many friends who had come and said, you know, you need to come, you need to come. And I want you to know that he was the first one who made good on his word. Amen? We don't see many people come good on their word. They say things and they go away. And I have come to respect that. Every time. So it was him who sent me that invitation. And in 2006, and I can give you many, many details about how I got my visa. Let me quickly tell you, you know, I never had a passport at that time. I never had been out of the country anytime. And so here I get a letter from him, from Faith Worship, inviting me to come. And so I apply for my visa. And my friends are telling me over there, you know what, you've never been out of the country, they will never give you a visa. They will never give you a visa. I said, well, okay, let me give it a try. So I go there, and they look at my, the guy at the counter, he says, sir, how do you know Freddie Riggs? I said, he's my friend, he has been in my church, and okay. Then he asks me the most strange questions that you would never expect a visa officer to ask you. You know what he asked me? Can you tell me which is the last book of the Old Testament? This is a visa officer sitting in New Delhi, and I kind of laughed. I said, Malachi, and he also laughed. And then he says to me, and by the way, he has not asked me for any documents till now. Because they ask you for your bank statement, they ask you for so many things. And I'm waiting in my hand, and I've got that letter that I'm waiting to show him. And then he says, how long do you want to go to America for? I said, I only want to go for 3 weeks. Okay? He says, your visa is approved. And then, so I come back and I tell them, you know, he said my visa is approved. So they're all saying, okay, they'll give you 6 months. When my visa came in, they gave me 10-year multiple entry. And so we go ways back. Okay, and I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to Pastor Jeremy and Sister Tiffany for allowing me to be in their pulpit. But it has been a journey. Amen. How many of you know that God remains faithful at all times? Amen. He remains faithful at all times. And you know, these are great days to live in. Okay? These are great days to live in. We've all been through the coronavirus. And let me tell you something. Some of us have complained a lot about it. But let me tell you something. Everything that the enemy throws at us, you know what we got to do? We don't have to sit and sulk. We got to say, what's the next opportunity that we're going to have? Amen. And so there are many more things that are going to come our way. But we decide whether we are going to fix our eyes on those things or we are going to fix our eyes on Jesus. Amen. It's very, very important. And so I'm very grateful, you know, to be here in your midst. I feel at home every time I come to this church. And more importantly, I feel home in their home because, you know, every time I come, my wife will tell me, I know wherever you go, but I'm really, really concerned because Sister Becky's cooking is going to be very visible when I get home. Amen. The first time I ate biscuits and gravy was in their home. And I want you to know God is so good. Amen. Amen. The many things. And this church, I want you to know, when you serve God faithfully, along with leadership, God will take you places. This is a journey, friends. And this is a journey that is not a sprint. This is a marathon. Amen? Till Jesus comes, we are called to occupy. Okay? Be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful in everything that God has called you to do. Amen? So very quickly, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16. And Pastor Jeremy told me I have 2.5 hours to preach. Okay, so we're going to lock that door. No, I'm teasing. Okay, so Matthew chapter 16. When you have it, I want you to say amen. Amen. It says over there, when Jesus came, in verse number 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Somebody said amen. Father, this morning we are grateful for your presence. Apart from that, we are nothing, O God. I pray this morning that you unstop our ears. Spirit of the living God, you fall afresh in this house. Unstop our ears. I pray this word will fall on good ground this morning. I thank you and I praise you that your word is already anointed, but this vessel needs the anointing. And I just pray that you use me, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help me not to impress, but to impact. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. You know, when I came on the 5th of this month here, and in the following week, there was this talk about Rosh Hashanah, okay? And I heard these words, 5784 is the year of open doors, right? Open doors. And I want you to know that when you begin to actually survey and examine and take stock of life, you suddenly realize that when you boil it down and when you get it down to the very basic reality, you find that on a day-to-day basis, we encounter doors on every level. Just the basic things of life, and it boils down to that. And I've been thinking, so when I heard that word, and so last week, I had prepared something very different. And how many of us know, I mean, we preachers know this, that when you are very well prepared, the Holy Spirit will say, you keep it to yourself. Okay? And I've learned one thing. It is a good thing to obey him. Okay, you know what? Then everything is on him. I don't have to do. I just obey, and he does the work. And so, I pray this morning that the Lord will speak to your heart. That God will do what he wants to do, because all the glory and all the honor is his and his alone. And so, have you noticed we're constantly dealing with doors? Okay, we are dealing with trying to get to the right door. To open, some of us are waiting for the right door of opportunity to open. Some of us are waiting for the right breakthrough, the door of breakthrough to open. Okay, anybody need breakthrough? Okay, some of us are waiting for advancement. Okay, what's next? What's going to happen next? And then some of us are waiting to take new territory. We heard Pastor Jeremy talk just now about the church growth. You know, it's a great thing that you're doing church growth. Now, you may be thinking, you know, when I saw that word church planting, that is the calling of the church. Do you know that? And if you don't do that, you know what? You're going to stagnate. Because it is very easy to come and sit within these four walls. But let me tell you something. Our work is outside there. We are not called to shine here, which we are very good at. But we are called to shine out there. We have to be the salt and the light outside there. And so it's very, very important that we learn church planting. And you may say, well, it's the job of the pastor. No, sheep beget sheep. Somebody said amen. It is sheep beget sheep. It has to be your job. It is not the job of the pastor, okay? Let me rattle your theology a little bit. Many times, many churches think that it is the job of the pastor. No, it is the job of the pastor to equip you. That's what they're doing. So they will equip you, and you do the work, okay? And so that's how the whole circle comes around. And so we want new territory, we want change. You know, even the tough things we face are doors. And so, doors to respond correctly, a doorway to a new level of faith, a doorway, an entry point to win a victory. Do you know the door represents a portal? Okay. And God is constantly looking for people that he can open doors for. Amen. He's looking for people whom he can do things for. It all boils down to doors. We are trying to work through entry. And yet it seems to me that many times, and many of us struggle to gain access to everything that God has for us. You with me this morning? We struggle in this area. What does God have for me? I've been a Christian for so many years, and what does God have for me? We struggle with that. It seems to be the most of us appear to be stuck in the wrong side of the door. sometimes. And you know what? Because we have failed to learn how to open that door that should be open for us. Jesus spoke about doors to his disciples. I think what he said has implications for you and for me, and it should reveal to us perhaps our challenge. Listen carefully. Perhaps our challenge is not the recognition of a door. Listen carefully. The challenge is not of the recognition of the door that we fail to discern, but the type of door we are facing. Okay? Jesus has a very interesting conversation with his disciples. Jesus forces them to come to a conclusion as to who he was. And Peter, you know, Peter is the loudmouth. He's always ahead of himself. He's the one who says so many things. And Peter has a moment of clarity and revelation. I believe with all my heart, that was a revelation. Okay, and Peter embraces Jesus' true identity for himself. And Jesus' response is what intrigues me. As you begin to think about it, because if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then you have to come to the same conclusion that what Peter had. What is that conclusion? You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And at that utterance of that revelation, and at that moment, we embrace that truth of Jesus Christ in our hearts, and then Jesus makes us a promise. So if you reverse the order, you will stand in front of the door, it will never open. It is upon this revelation, he says, because you got this revelation, now I'm going to tell you. Because if you try to get to the promise without the revelation, you're going to mess it up. And so he says over there, at the utterance of that revelation, who's got the revelation? Peter. So he says to Peter, because you have this revelation about me, now I'm going to tell you, here comes the promise. Here comes the promise. Did you see that? Did you catch that? Did you see the implication as it pertains to the doors we are facing every day? You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. And the keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth. And earth and heaven. And yes, on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it was. On earth as it is in heaven. And no on earth is no on heaven. So Jesus says that every door will be open and there will be no more barriers. That's good enough to shout this morning. Amen. Every door. But make sure you get a revelation of who he is. Not about church. Okay, we get churchy very quickly, you know. It's not talking about, oh, you know, this is a great place, which it is. But you have to build on the revelation of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who have a lot of information. They have a lot of information. I mean, they can tell you stuff, so on and so forth. But let me tell you something. It is revelation that only God, the Holy Spirit, can give to us. And then we come to this conclusion. So Jesus says that every door will be open and there will be no more barriers. But how many of us are face to face with doors that we can't seem to get open? Are we honest this morning? We're all standing in front of the door. We just can't figure it out. Was the promise? And then we begin to think, was the promise a sham? Was it a lie? Or did he just say it? No, I think it boils down to the fact that we have to understand the types of door we face. And the other part of that statement is this. What does he say? He says, I will give you the keys to what? Oh, I'll give you the keys to your nice house that you have been praying for so faithfully. I will give you the keys to that nice car that you have been looking at others and saying, why did they get him? I should have got it. He says, I will give you the keys to what? To the kingdom of heaven. Not a single time in scripture you find Jesus alluding to anything but the kingdom of God. Here's the problem sometimes. We get into the church, but we fail to get into the kingdom. You know why? Because we have a democratic mindset. In the kingdom, that does not work. Because in the kingdom, you have a king. And the king has to allow you to get into his kingdom. Now, if you don't like your president, you can vote him out, right? But you cannot vote the king out. Amen? And so he says the kingdom is very important. So there are three kinds of doors very quickly that we face. And I want to briefly mention the first two because I want to lay focus on the last door. And because we don't play a huge role in opening either of these doors. So I'll spend some more time on the last door. The number one door that I find is the locked door. Okay? This is the door that you come up against that only God can open. Okay? You can kick, you can scream, you can run into, you can pry and try to pick the lock, and nothing you or anyone else can do to open this door. We usually think this is God cheating us out of something. And then some point later in life, we realize it was usually God protecting us from us. Amen? Sometimes, you know, we've got the crowbar and we're just open in Jesus' name, and open in Jesus' name, open in Jesus' name. But in reality, God was really protecting us. Anyone here thankful for some unanswered prayers? I am very thankful. How many times, you remember what we prayed? Lord, I don't want to live no more. Please take my life. And if God answered that prayer? What does the prophet say? Lord, I am the only one left. I am the only one left. All of them have gone. God says, no, you keep quiet. There are yet still 70 who have not bowed down. Okay, so I'm very thankful for some of the prayers that he has not answered. Lord, take my life. Okay. Lock doors that you thought were right, but now you realize that if you had gotten the door open, you would have been miserable right now. Right? You would have been miserable. It is important that you discern or lock door and discern when God is saying no. We don't like this word no, right? Especially in the church, we don't like it. No. We fight it furiously. No, or you will waste your energy. Some of us are wasting our time and wasting our energy and time trying to get something that God has determined to keep out of you. It's not for you. Don't waste your time over there. So that's the locked door. The second door is a time-locked door. There's a time-locked door. Okay, time-locked doors are those doors that open on a certain timetable. Okay? What does the Bible say? There is a time and a season for everything under the sun. Ecclesiastes tells us that. Okay, a perfect example is the account. You remember in John chapter 5? This guy is waiting for the moving of the waters. Okay? And how many years has he been there? 38 years. And what is he saying? He's waiting for the moving of the waters. And so when the water moves, then I'm going to get it. There are some things that will happen. Time-locked doors. He says he's waiting the waters to be troubled. Time-locked doors are about seasons. Okay? And there are certain doors that if you fail to exercise the wisdom ascribed to the sons of Issachar in the Old Testament. Do you know that? You know, in the Old Testament, when David was gathering all the fighting men, David makes it a point to bring in the sons of Issachar. Do you know why? Because it says they had the wisdom and the discernment, and they knew which direction Israel must go. How many of you pray for discernment? Be truthful, you're in the church. Okay? This morning, Sister Becky was talking about discernment. We must pray for discernment. We must pray for discernment. Don't all the time pray for power. Many of us, we pray for power. Lord, give me more power. To do what? To do what? Lord, give me more anointing. To do what? Do you know anointing was only given for service? Hello? If you're not going to serve God, don't ask God for anointing. You know, anointing was not given so we can preach better. Or we can say all kind of, you know, high things that goes over people's head. Anointing was given to serve. When Samuel comes into that place and he comes, what does he come to do? He comes to anoint the next king of Israel. And what was the job of the next king of Israel was to lead his people in the ways of God. So anointing is always given for service. Let me recommend this to you. Please pray, Lord, give me a spirit of discernment. Give me a spirit of discernment. Okay, and then the sons of Issachar who understood the times and seasons, because you will miss the opportunity to get in. This door usually comes on the answer from God. Wait, we read the passage in the scripture that says, the passage that deals with harvest wrong sometimes. we want to read, there is seed time and harvest, right? That's not right. No, you got to read it right. There is seed and time and harvest. Get it right? It's not. There's not no such thing. We read it wrong. There is seed and there is time and then there is harvest. Some of you are not getting through the door because you failed to walk through at the right time. The season has to be right. And so the opportunities of a lifetime are only good in the lifetime of the opportunity. And so, friends, David walked through the doorway of victory through Goliath. Why? He didn't have to wait to get ready. The door was already open for a short period of time. You know the reason the brothers missed it? Because they were waiting and they were wondering and they were thinking that if they close their eyes and go back into the tent, the giant will go away. Some of you are waiting for the giant to go away and maybe you know, if he can't see me, he won't do anything to me. Wrong! You can hide all you want inside. But let me tell you something. When you come out after the X period of time, he'll still be waiting for you. There is a season for everything. And you know, there are two times mentioned. You know, there is Kronos and Kairos. Kronos is this time that we have. Let me tell you, it is 9 o'clock in India, Sunday night now. This is Kronos time. But Kairos time, it's a Greek word. It's a time that it opens only a season, a window opens. And if you don't walk through that, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Some of us are missing the season, then we try to push in the wrong time, and that's why we mess up. If you are unwilling to wait and you force your way, and because you are early, you miss out. And some of us are faced with this door, and we aren't ready. We are not sensitive enough. So self-consumed we are sometimes, okay? Many times we are distracted. So busy that we wait too long and we miss out. Timing is very, very essential in the kingdom of God. Thirdly and finally, you can breathe easy now. This is the third one. This is the coded door, code. It has a code. You know what a code is? Nowadays, most places, they don't use this. What do they use? They got a code. They punch in that code. I'm discovering that the most common type of door that we face is also the one we fail to recognize. And therefore, we fail to access all that God has for us. These are the doors that require a code or a key or a combination. You know, back then when we used to carry briefcases, we had to have that number. Even on suitcases, you had to have that number. And I can tell you how many times I would forget that number. So we got to go with the screwdriver. And we're all angry and we're all bugged because very important papers are inside that. And we're at the bank and it's not opening, we're forgetting. So we run to this other place. And you know what? They have people who can open that briefcase for you without using a screwdriver. And I'm looking. He doesn't know the combination. It's just a three-digit combination. But didn't know it. But this fellow knows it. You know why? Because he's been practicing all the time. Do you practice the presence of God daily? Because if you do not practice the presence, being in the presence of God every day, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be surprised. Because he will bring out things to you that he wants to show you and me. And when you're not ready for it, you will try to push your way through it. And so remember the conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. He says that all the doors will be open. However, just prior to that statement, he indicates that some doors will be locked. And he indicates this by letting them know that he is issuing them the keys. Go back and read it. It says in the 18th and the 19th verse, what I want you to notice that he didn't say key in singular. The word is used in plural. He says the keys. That means there are many, many doors. And there are going to be many doors of opportunity that will be opened. He is actually waiting. He's on the edge. What can I give them? And what can I give them? And what can I give them? But he's waiting for us to punch in the right code. And he's saying, I'm going to give you the keys. The keys. He's issuing the keys. What I want you to notice that he didn't say key. He says, keys. He says keys is plural. And I think the problem is that too often we want the master key. Have you noticed that? We want the master key. What is the master key? One key opens everything. We want the master key. Usually prayer or faith, or we use the wrong key and the doors that we are supposed to unlock remain locked, and we question the power of the key. Okay, rather than checking to see if we are using the right key. Now, this is the key that will open the Lincoln truck that's out there. I took it from him. And don't worry, I'm not going to drive it here. Because you folk drive on the wrong side of the road. We drive on the right side of the road over there. If I take this key and I go home and I try to insert it in my car, you know what's going to happen? I can struggle and I can call the key maker, but it's not going to work. Why? Because this key will only open that car. When he puts this into the ignition, it will crank. And so he's saying, you got to use the right key. Listen here, there are certain keys that open certain doors. How many of you have heard Houdini? Have you heard of Houdini? Houdini found out this truth. If you use the wrong key, you can't gain access and freedom. And if you use the wrong key, you don't get out. And so we see over here, some of us, those of who are computer geeks, you know that when you play a video game, that there are keys that open up a certain level of the game. I'm bad at it. I don't know. I can open the computer and I can check my mail and I can send mail. And that's it. When I need help, I have to depend upon my children. And you know what the first thing they say? You don't know this, Daddy. Who gave birth to you? I don't know this. You know, I want to share with you some of the keys or codes for your life. If you can capture this, then the doors will begin to open. However, if you continue to try open the wrong doors, the wrong key, or if you keep waiting on a master key, you will remain frustrated and locked out. Okay, you ready with me? Let's go. Number one, how many of you need physical healing? Okay, you need the door of physical healing to be opened? The key that is prescribed is call the elders and have them pray for you. I don't like Pastor Jeremy. He ignored me last week. And Apostle, forget it. I don't like certain. See, if you want to be healed, you know what? The key is prescribed very well. Open up your Bible and read it. It says, call the elders and have them pray for you. Then James goes even one step further. And this is what he says. If you want to be healed, then confess your sins one to another. And then have them pray. Confess your sin one to another, then have them pray. Now, I'm not saying that you tell everybody. You know, you put go online and say, this is my sin. I was sinning this way. I sinned this. No. You got to use wisdom. Okay? And so you got to go and share it with mature Christians who will not advertise it. And so he says, let the elders come. And then he says, is it any wonder we stay sick? You know why? Because we don't like that key. Why should I go to him? Why should I go to him? No. So that's the first key. Okay, how many of us need forgiveness from God? Anybody need forgiveness from God? Anybody need to forgive somebody? Okay? You can sit in church and do your stuff and you can jump and holler and run around here and there. But let me tell you something. If you have not learned to forgive, you are locked out. What is the code? Need forgiveness from God and can't seem to get through? Have you noticed sometimes our prayers are hitting the ceiling? And then the key code is this. Deal with the thought of unforgiveness that you have in your heart with your brother or your sister. Deal with it. Can't be forgiven if we can't forgive. The third one, how many of us need provision? Provision. The code is to give and it shall be given unto you. What have you given to him? Some of us are holding on to stuff on our own we have not given. Let me tell you, friends, whatever you reveal, that's what he will heal. Somebody said amen. Whatever you reveal to him. You know, the story when Lazarus is dead, they come back and the sister say, if you had been here, he would have not died. What does Jesus say? He says, today you will see the glory of God. And then, you know, Mary and Martha, one is very fond of cooking, the other one is very fond of talking too much. And she goes and she says, and so Jesus, what does he say? Show me. Show me the place. Do you think Jesus did not know where they had buried him? He knows. Friends, when God is asking you a question, he is not looking for information. He knows all things. Okay? He knows all things. So please don't try to counsel God. Lord in heaven, you know how wicked that one is. Lord, you know this is happening. And Lord, you know, surely you know, you know, you know. No, he knows. Keep quiet. Be still before him and know that he is God. They have, you know, and we need provision. The code is to give and it shall be given. You can pray for money all day long and you can still need money. How many of you know that? The key to open the door to financial breakthrough is in prayer. It is in the tithes and in the offerings. Shout amen. Amen. And let me take it a step further. Your sacrificial giving brings the blessing of God in your life. What is your sacrificial giving? Your missions giving. See, we are very smart. Sometimes we take from our tithe, we take out the missions offering. And we're looking. What does Pastor Jeremy know? Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. But you know what? You're not serving him. You're serving the King of Glory. And so your sacrificial giving is the one that brings the blessing. Then he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Okay, that's how it works. Some of you are hoping that we will call down. Sometimes, you know, financial breakthrough is not prayer. It's not any other thing. It's in your tithes, in your offerings. Some of us are hoping that we will call you down in front, pour out that whole jar of oil on your head. Then all of a sudden, the windows of heaven will begin to open for you. No, the truth is that if he wanted to give you the key that we would have you do is call down here and put an offering bucket in your face and refuse you to allow you to take it back until you use the key. Harvest is always linked to seed. Amen? I'm going to say it this side to all the smart ones. Harvest is always linked to seed, okay? Harvest. Harvest is always linked to seed. Harvest is always linked to seed. Your seed is the key that opens the door. Okay, the next door. How many of you need a relationship to be healed? Uh-oh. Relationship. I don't want no husband, no wife look at each other, okay? Parents with children. Relationships. How many of you want that? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, everybody has a bad, but sometime or the other, you know, sometime, you know, why it keeps recurring? Because what we have done is we have pushed it way back. And so what we're saying is out of sight, out of mind. And so if you need a relationship to be healed, the key is to prefer the other person over yourself. Not to run yourself down, but to prefer the other person. The key is that a soft answer turns away wrath. You don't have to always have the last word. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them what she means. What does she think? What does he think? I'm going to tell them. The key is to turn on the other cheek. The key for husbands is to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Shout amen. Amen. And the key for wives is to? Come on, ladies. Is to submit and honor your husbands. What is the key for parents? According to Ephesians chapter 6, it's not to provoke your children to anger, but by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Do not expect the Sunday school to take care of your kid, because they've only have them for an hour maximum. Rest of the time, they are with you. And let me tell you something. You know, I have three kids of my own. They're all grown up now. You know, and I grew up in a generation. If my mama looked at us, that was it. You were going to get a whooping when you got home. And in India, we cannot call 911. No way. No way. If your mama decided you're going to get a whooping, you are going to get a whooping. And after that, you're not going to get any food to eat. I cannot tell you how many times I have been kicked out of the house for coming late. Because as I was growing up, you know, there was a curfew time. You have curfew time here for kids? No, I don't know. Okay, you have to come home by this time. I was always late. And the excuse I did was this, I got no watch. Always came late. The key is, do you know why does Paul write? He says, the key is for husbands to love your wife. Because for men folk, love doesn't come easy. To all the studs who are here, what do we say? I'm going to tell you one time I love you, and that's going to be about it. Right? And it becomes difficult. You see, he says, you know, submit to your wives. And let me tell you one thing. We preachers have this great time, especially when we are preaching in a marriage. We want to look right at the girl and say, submit to your wife. And, you know, this submission is not slavery, okay? The submission that he's talking. Because when she sees the man who is submitted to Christ, she will never have a problem submitting to the husband. And it goes the other way around. And so it says, rather than bring them in the discipline of the Lord, instruction of the Lord, kids, the key is to honor your father and your mother, and you will have a long life. Some of us are trying to fix relationships, but we're not using the right key. In all of these doors, I mean, it's very simple, friend. They're just doors I'm talking about. It's just everyday stuff. We are trying to fix our marriage with romance, and the key is this, how we talk to one another when we are not on the date. How do you talk in the house or in the church? Let Pastor Jeremy give testimony time. She's the love of my life. What would I do without her? But when you got home, if the food was not good, what did you make? I can't eat this kind of food. How you talk to one another. Romance is all good. Romance is all good. How many of us know those of who are married, the honeymoon got over? You know, one of the other things I learned from Apostle Freddie and Sister Becky was this. They keep going on dates all the time. I mean, he set a bad example in my home. Every time, you know, we're going on vacation. Oh, where are you going? I'm going with my girlfriend. What? The reason their marriage has been sustained, not because they went on going on dates and saying all manner of sweet nothings. It was they learned to honor God first together. That is why God restored that marriage, and that is why God is going to show them over 40 years now. Why do I say that? Don't try to fix your marriage with romance. But the key is how we talk to one another when we are not on the date. Some of the young folks are trying to access the areas of your life and you are locked out because you are in rebellion sometimes to authority. You want healthy relationships? The key is not to be unequally yoked in your relationships. It can't be healthy if it's on unequal ground. It's going to fail. How many of you need friends? Need friends? Yeah, very, very important. You know, the Bible says, in your day of calamity, do not go to your relative's house, go to your friend's house. I love that verse with all my heart. Because in your day of calamity, when you go to your relative's house, they're going to tell you, I told you. You should have listened to me. Now you listen. But when your friends, what do your friends say? Haven't you noticed, what did he say? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. So when we take it to him, you need friends. You don't have to ask God to open the door of friendship. Simply use the right key. Want a friend? Be friendly. Be trustworthy and serve along. How many of you need a promotion? If I were you, I'd lift up both my hands and my feet as well. You want to be promoted? The key is to remain faithful in the little things. Especially, let me tell you, church leaders today, be faithful in that house group. There may be two people coming. You be faithful. And most importantly, wait for God to promote you. You don't promote yourself. Wait for God to promote you. If you want to be promoted, the key is to remain faithful in the little things, because if you're faithful in the little, he will make you ruler over much. Much. Because what will happen is, see, your gift will make room for you, right? How did Joseph become the prime minister of Egypt? Second in command. His gift made room for him. He never handed out, I'm so-and-so. 17 years he's been in the pit, he's been in the prison, and now he's in the palace. What's the progression? What is happening over here? Even in those situations, what is he doing? He's using his gifts. Some of us are very gifted, okay? But what we do is we sit there. They didn't ask me. You know what is going to happen? You will lose that gift. You will lose that gift. If you are gifted, and I'm not talking about talent, because you got a bunch of talented people who do nothing. Talented people never did anything. You know who does the thing? The committed ones. Your gift will make room for you. You know what? Once you are gifted, you can work anywhere. Especially in the church. You know, when I started out in the ministry, you know, my pastor called me and he told me, you know, I want you to clean that bathroom so well that if I want, I can come and sit here and eat my meal. And my pastor studied in America and lived in America for 15 years, and then he came back. And he always says that to this day, there are two kinds of cleaning. One is Indian cleaning and one is American cleaning. You know, clean the toilets. And here I'm thinking to myself, I have a bachelor's degree in commerce. I'm so much better than all the other Bible school students. Why should I clean this? Let me tell you, friends, when you're faithful in the little things, there is no limit as to what God will do with our lives. Okay, if the door doesn't seem to open, then evaluate the key that you are using. That's what we don't do. And we blame others and we say, this one made me do that and that one made me do that. I'm not doing this because... But we fail to evaluate the key that we are using. Some of you want to be promoted, but you're not faithful now. You are clocking in late and leaving early in your workplace. What time do you get there? Oh, you know what? He's a heathen fellow. Wrong. You are put there in your workplace. Give your best. You clock in late and you leave early. No discipline at your current level. No diligence now. Won't prepare your gift now. Your gift will make room for you. You want to be great? The door is opened by service. Everybody say service. Servant leadership opens the door for greatness. The key we want to use is power, title, authority, and we can't seem to get the door open. I got the title. I'm reverend. I'm senior pastor. So, it don't mean a thing to God. We open the door to greatness by taking a towel and bending down and serving others. Oh, shall we do that every Sunday? No, that's not what it means. He is showing us by example, why you serve. Some of you will never be able to be great because we don't like this key. These keys that I'm telling you, some of us, we're not liking these keys. You know what? I will preach and I'll go. Pastor Jeremy has to deal with all the stuff then. You understand what I'm saying? We may not like the keys. And just because we don't like the keys, we are frustrated. By the way, doors are opened in the negative too. Okay? The door of failure is unlocked by pride. Do you know that? The door of failure. I mention that because there are doors that open in your life that we don't like. So don't blame the door. Look at the key that's in your hand. Don't blame the door. Don't kick at the door. Look at the key that's in your hand. Some of you are opening the door of curses because there is rebellion in your hand. Some of us are opening the door to death because in our hand is the key of negative words. Everything we're saying, no, no, and this cannot happen. And have you heard that? You know, I'm really frustrated in India with WhatsApp. Every morning, somebody is sending so many, this bad news and that bad news. And these are church folk. And then the worst one is, good morning, pastor. Every day. Sometimes 4 in the morning, sometimes 5 in the morning, sending Bible verses. That's all okay, but you know, you need to send those things to those who don't know. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time in doing all these things. Some of us, are the doors are being opened to death because the key in our hands is of negative words. Some of us are opening the door to stupid decisions because in your hand is the key of unwillingness to listen to the wisdom and the counsel that God has placed in your life. God has placed people in our lives, but we are unwilling to listen to godly counsel. You know why? Because we want safe counsel. We don't want godly counsel. We want safe counsel. And so, friends, in other words, I just wanted to tell you to quit trying to use a master key of prayer when the doors you are praying about aren't opened by prayer. The door would be opened if you would simply figure out which key you are using and switch it to the right key. The right key. And so, just so you don't misunderstand me here, there are doors that prayer opens. Okay, so don't think, oh, he said, we don't need to come for prayer. That's fine. Faced with the demon-possessed boy, you remember? Jesus says these things come out by prayer and fasting. You don't counsel demons. We just heard it in the Sunday school class. You don't counsel demons. I want you, you know, sometimes preachers, they call the fellow and this happened in our home church. There was this guy, he was drunk. And so the Bible school, we were having revival meeting. So some of the Bible school students, they brought this fellow inside and he can hardly walk. So he comes and he stands and 4 of the pastors, they got behind him and they want to pray against him. And if he is not listening, they gave him a slap. That fellow doesn't know anything. And they're going around, what is your name? What is your name? What is your name? Come out in the name of Jesus. If you don't come out and if you don't leave, we are going to leave. They were sweating and sweating. You don't do that. Do you find, well, you know what Jesus says? The moment he sees, he says, come out. The moment he steps foot, what happens? The man who's in the cemetery all his life, they come running and they plead with him, Son of David, what do you have with us? Send us away from this place. And so, friend, just you don't misunderstand. You don't counsel demons and you don't medicate demons. It's the wrong key. Key is prayer and fasting. Okay, it's all about the keys. What key are you using this morning? Some of us are using the wrong key. Wrong key won't open the right door. Wrong keys open the wrong door. And if you will choose and use the right key, the right doors will be open to you in Jesus' name. It's very, very clear, friends. These are doors that are supposed to be open to you, but you claim prophecy. And you declare and you pray and you claim and you rail against the door all day long and it will remain closed until you realize to utilize the right key. Dear people of God, is there anybody in this room who would say, honest before God, maybe I'm standing before the door, but I've got the wrong set of keys in my hand. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? The Lord says, do not look for the master key. You know, if you've seen blank keys, a blank key, you have to, if you call a locksmith and your door has been locked, and you have lost the key or something. When you call the locksmith, he comes with a bunch of keys that are just simple and plain. And then what does he do? He will try to saw it in a particular manner. Then he puts it inside the keyhole, and then he checks it over and over again. And what he does is, you have to cut the key for the particular lock. Some of us are standing in front of the door that God has said is there, but we're using a blank key. And the Lord says, I can't give you a master key. You've got to get the right, the appropriate, and a prescribed key. Because this is not something that one key fits all. Because all our situations are different. Every situation is different. Every door is different. I can stand here with no doubt and say doors will open that have been closed to you if you would use the right key. Don't take my word. Take Jesus as his word. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth and earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. Is there anybody here this morning who would say, I've been standing and I've been frustrated and I've been angry, and some of us have become maybe hateful towards that. And you would say this morning, Lord, I want access. Would you lift up your hands and we're going to pray together. Pastor Jeremy is going to come forward and I'm going to turn the service over. But do not leave this place, friends, without getting it right with the Lord. He says, I'm going to give you the keys. He has already given us the keys. So I do not know which situation fits you. I just wanted to tell you to quit trying to use a master key. This is not a key that fits all. Your door and that key for that door is tailor-made for your situation.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.